I'll tell you all, I am excited to be here in sunny California, especially since last I checked it was about 35, 40 degrees in Minneapolis. And coming here has been what I would call a wonderful respite from the beauty of the cold. I'm trying to have a positive attitude. I just want you to know that. Yesterday I spent a day by myself. I usually don't get a chance to do that with three little boys. My three little boys, Taylor, Kyle, and Andrew, they're wonderful kids, but there's just something about Dad and them. They just love to always hang on to me, and that's okay. But yesterday I got a chance to spend a day by myself, and I just want to tell you all what I did, because I haven't gotten a chance to share with anyone what I did yesterday on my day off. I got into a car from, where was I at? La Mirada. I've got to get used to all this La's and L's and Pa's. I mean, when I'm driving, they say take a left at Pico. It says Avenue Pico. And I'm thinking, now, is it Avenue Pico or Pico Avenue? I don't know. California's just that way. But anyway, I drove down to Avenue Pico and went to make sure I saw where the hotel was. And then it was a little early, so I thought, well, I should drive over and find out where the church is. And so I drove over and found out where the church is. And I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, you guys have reason to be excited here. Amen? Let me just check something real quick. You say amen here, right? Okay, all right. I'm just wanting to make sure now. I mean, I just want to make sure you don't say something different out in California. I mean, like, I don't know what it would be. But anyways, I drove down here, and I came up by this place, and I just thought, man, look at this. Look at this place. And I looked out at the ocean and stopped down, got a little something to eat. I asked someone, I said, now, which way to the ocean? They showed me to the ocean. I mean, I had the biggest smile on my face. And I went down to the ocean and walked around and stretched out, and I rented a bike. I mean, I couldn't believe it. For an hour, I rented a bike and rode the bike and came back. And, man, I'm telling you, I was feeling good. And I got off the bike and got in the car and went back to my hotel and watched Cleveland beat the Marlins. I don't know if y'all know anything about baseball out here, but the World Series is taking place right now. And now there's Game 7, which will be tonight, and I'll get home just in time for that. But as I was spending time preparing for my time here, I must let you know that God did not just send me all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota to San Clemente. I knew it was something Clemente. It's never just a word. It's lost and it's L and it's sand or something. Well, anyway, I know that God did not have me come all the way from Minneapolis just to ride a bike and to enjoy my time. But I truly believe that the Lord has sent me here for a number of reasons. Some of those reasons have been fulfilled at Biola. But I also knew that I needed to stay the time over on Saturday and have that day for this very moment, because God had already told me that He was going to have this to be a special time for our PCC. That the Lord had orchestrated everyone that would be here in all three services for a word that He's brought to you. And so if you'd be willing, I'd like you to stand to your feet, if you would. And if you would be willing to cup your hands just like this, and this is a statement of, there's a bug up here. Do you know that there's a bug up here? I haven't seen a bug the whole time I've been to California. There's a bug up here in the church. Is there a bug person around? Okay. Cup your hands just like this. And this is a statement of you being willing to receive. If you're willing to receive today, just nod your head. All right, let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank You so much for this church. We thank You, Lord, for the parcel of land that You have prepared. We thank You for the people and the way that You've orchestrated their presence here. We thank You, God, that we're here by Your mercy. And now, as our hands are cupped, we want to receive from You what You have for us on this day. Help us to be a people to not only hear the word, but to be doers of the word. To receive this word into their life and for it to be application as we go throughout the rest of our life. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we thank You in advance. Everyone said together, amen. Amen. We're sharing, first of all, I'm sorry, you may be seated. You know, I got to just tell you something. It's really been kind of amazing. I mean, the folks at Biola University, if you say stand, they stand. And if you don't say sit, they don't sit. And I mean, I must tell you that being from Minneapolis, I kind of always assumed that, you know, you folks out here in Los Angeles kind of, you know, did your own thing. And so I've been surprised when I said, would you stand? And people didn't just say, well, I don't feel like standing. I mean, I've always had this assumption about you folks in Los Angeles. But so far, I must admit, you have been very, how can I say it? Wonderful people. I just say that. You've been wonderful people. There's something that I have missed, I must tell you, that since I've been here, I've been desperately looking, since the Lord had given me this message, for where Hollywood is. I can't find Hollywood. Where is Hollywood from here? Where's the sign with, you know, I have that song, Hollywood, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know that song? Okay. I have been desperately looking for Hollywood. I can't find it, but I did see last night on the TV, you know, a picture of it, so I feel like I've seen it. And today I'm actually going to be talking a little bit about Hollywood. In fact, the title of this message is Better Than Hollywood. And I don't know if you know it or not, but there are folks that actually get confused about Hollywood in reality. There's a story of, I guess there was a soap opera person, I can't remember who it was, that went into the grocery store, and as they were in the grocery store, someone came up to them and said, you know, you really ought to marry so-and-so. And they had gotten confused between the fact that the person in the grocery store really was not acting as the actor on the soap opera, but the person that was in the grocery store was so clicked into this particular person's portrayal of the person that they were portraying that they actually wanted them to respond in reality according to their Hollywood situation. Now, I'm not sure if anyone here watches much TV or if you get involved in that, but there are folks who really get in tune with what's happening on television. And, of course, Hollywood always wants to portray that it is reality. In fact, we've got people, even today, that take Hollywood as their standard for how they're going to live their life. If Hollywood says this is the kind of car you're supposed to drive, then we say sometimes as people, this is the kind of car we're supposed to drive. If Hollywood says this is the way you're supposed to wear your hair, then we'll say, well, this is the way that I'm supposed to wear my hair. If Hollywood says it's okay for you to have two or three different girlfriends or boyfriends at the same time, we sometimes say it's okay to have two or three different girlfriends or boyfriends at the same time. But you need to know that the church is to be different than Hollywood. Amen? Hollywood is not our standard for how we live. Rather, we have something better than Hollywood. I call it Hollywood. It's like heaven, you know. Heaven up there says this is the way it's going to be, and God speaks His word and gives His word to us, and we look in that word and we say, wow, this is how God wants us to live, even if it is outside of the norm for society. We as Christians have got to be willing to move beyond Hollywood lying to Hollywood living or Christian living, where what we portray on the outside is married to who we are on the inside. I'm going to share a quick scripture with you in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, it therefore says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing. We're not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull for this very day. The same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is this veil taking away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I don't know if you get the picture or not, but you see, Moses had a spiritual experience, a very powerful spiritual experience on the mountain. And it says that when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of the Lord. And Moses had found that this was a very effective way for him to deal with the people, because as the people saw Moses and the glory shining on his face, you know, they treated him differently. But back in those days, you see, that glory that was shining over Moses began to fade away. And so I'm sure Moses would look in his shiny little mirror and he'd say, boy, you know, I just don't look the way I looked on that day when I was with the Lord. And, you know, even some of us, you know, when we think about our spiritual experience that we've had, sometimes we live with that yesterday spiritual experience, but not knowing that we need a daily experience with Christ. And so sometimes even for us, you know, we'll go on a retreat or we'll have a time in church and God will meet us in a powerful way. And sometimes we want to live on that yesterday situation. And so when we see people, we come to people with a veil. We don't want them to know that, yes, even though I'm a Christian, I'm struggling. We don't want them to know that, yes, even though I've had an experience with Christ, I'm still doubting. And so what we do is we come into the church sort of with that same veil that Moses had on his face, hoping that people will just assume that the experience that we had in the past is still the present day experience for us. And so Moses had the folks fooled. I mean, he'd come down with the veil over his face. And the people would look at Moses and say, yeah, Moses is that holy man, that man that's got the glory of the Lord on his face, when in fact it was fading away. I guess my question for you this morning is, do you have a veil over your face? Is there anything for you right now that you would just assume hide? Is that experience that you had with the Lord that was true and was real and was good, has it begun to fade away? And maybe are you afraid for the pastor to know, or the Christian educators to know, or your friends to know that really that's not where you're at? You see, the veil sometimes can just be church attendance. Sometimes we just want people to know, yes, I was at church last Sunday. Sometimes it's based on our giving. Sometimes it's based on our Sunday school attendance. But you see, in Christ, we don't have to have a veil. Amen? With Christ, we don't have to have a veil. We get to have experience and relationship with Christ daily. And so how is it that we can come to a place where we don't fall into the Hollywood trap? What do we need to do to make sure that we don't get into the trap of putting the veil over our face or putting ourselves in situations where we're trying to impress people with an external picture that is not in line with the internal character that we're dealing with? I think there's a way that we can become better than Hollywood. And we can find that way in the book of Galatians, if you would turn to me, with me. Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians, the second chapter. Paul is such a powerful reminder of how it is that we're to live. Paul was a man that had stepped away from sort of society's expectations of him. Certainly he had all of the things in line, being a teacher and all the things that went with the Jewish tradition. And Paul had a conversion with Christ that was very real. That conversion was so real that Paul was willing to be put at risk of his reputation in order for him to follow Christ. And we find a situation where Paul has to do something very difficult, and that is to confront one of the other disciples of Jesus Christ, whose name is Peter. How is it that we can be better than Hollywood? I think the only way that we can do that is to make daily choices. Choices that are going to make a difference in our life. When I was in college, I came up with this statement. Actually, it wasn't something that I came up with, but I sort of took it as my own. When I was preparing to leave, on your little graduation card, you always put some sort of little statement on there. And what I put on my graduation card is, destiny is by choice, not by chance. Destiny is by choice, not by chance. In other words, it takes a daily choice that I'm going to have to make to put myself in a position to succeed. I think the same thing is true for us here. We've got to make choices. And in order for us to move beyond sort of Hollywood lying to Christian living, we've first got to make the first choice. And what I say there is that we need to choose to be spiritually correct rather than politically correct. Or you could go so far as to say to be spiritually correct rather than politically, socially, economically, or anything else correct. It says that when Peter came to Antioch in verse 11 of chapter 2, Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. Now, what Paul is saying here is that Peter had fallen into a bit of a trap. When he was with the Gentiles and the Jews weren't around, Peter would kind of, you know, like have lunch with people. You know, he'd sit down with them and talk and eat and fellowship. But when the Jews came from Jerusalem, Peter would shrink back. He realized that it would not be politically correct. The Jews would not look at him correctly if he were to spend this time with the Gentiles, being that the Gentiles were an unclean people. Peter, something about that Peter. I mean, very zealous disciple. But like some of us, you know, there were times where he'd get a little confused. There were times when Peter would fall prey to fear, fall prey to social pressure. You remember what happened when Jesus was about to go and be crucified. It said that someone came to him and said, surely you're Peter, aren't you? I mean, you're one of the disciples that followed this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not one of them. It kind of reminds me, if it just say that here at the Pacific Coast Church, if we found out that something very radical was happening at Pacific Coast Church, and down in San Clemente they found out that, you know, maybe that this thing was so radical up there that maybe the community said, well, we're not sure what's going on there, and then someone were to come and sneak in the back and spend some time here, and let's just say that they saw Pastor Mike preaching, and then they went back downtown and Pastor Mike was downtown, and they said, hey, you're Mike, aren't you? No, I'm not Mike. You're the pastor from that church up there where they believe in Jesus Christ and they preach it. Well, no, that's not me. I mean, can you imagine how radical that would be if pastor did that? Well, even take it more. Peter was the man who walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus, and they were in relationship with each other. And when the rubber met the road, they said, aren't you the one who walked with Jesus? And Peter said, no, that's not me. You must be someone else. Peter had fallen into these traps, and here it was later after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where Jesus had already said, Jesus told Peter, on this rock I shall build the church, but yet even Peter fell prey to falling into the political, social trap of being politically correct more than spiritually correct. And so what happened is that Peter would shrink back. You don't know if you know it or not, but there's folks right now that are preparing for the year 2000 politically. And some of these folks are hoping to be able to run for office. And so what they're doing right now is they're finding out right now what are the issues that are politically correct. Now, I don't know if it happens out here in California, but in Minnesota, you know, we've got a whole issue between pro-life and pro-choice. And so the politicians are deciding, are the people pro-life people or pro-choice people? And they're aligning themselves with whichever group it looks like has got the most votes. As it pertains to the issue of homosexuality, there are politicians that are already putting themselves and aligning themselves in preparation for the year 2000 that if it looks like there's a pro-homosexual agenda where they're going to get more votes, they will align themselves with that agenda because they want to be politically correct. I don't know if y'all experienced it in California or not, but you know in Minnesota, there are actually churches that are choosing to be politically correct. So to have people in their church that will feel comfortable with what's going on rather than being spiritually correct. Can I get an amen over that? I think that probably happens in California, where churches begin to be more politically correct than spiritually correct. We've got to make a decision as Christians that we're going to be spiritually correct, even at the risk of not being politically correct. It's a choice that's got to be made. It's a choice that's got to be made on a daily basis. You see, there's this thing that happens with us as humans. And it's called letting others paint our picture. So sometimes we'll let others make a portrait of us. And as they put the swipes across and say this, that, and the other, we fall prey to being like what others want us to be. Let me ask you the question this morning. Who signed your portrait? Who signed the picture of you today? Is it a portrait that you have painted? Is it a portrait that your parents have painted or your husband or your wife is painted? My prayer would be is that it's a portrait that God has painted. And that portrait would be something that you want to proclaim both externally and internally, which ultimately will make a difference eternally. Hopefully you're doing on the outside what you believe on the inside. One of the real struggles with Hollywood is that there's no integrity between what they're doing on the outside and what's happening on the inside. In fact, they don't even care. Their whole point is to portray something to the world and then to go and do something else. But in the church, we've got to move from being politically correct to being spiritually correct. And that's going to be a choice that we're going to have to make. In Galatians chapter 2, it goes on to say this. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. One key word, afraid. You got two choices. You're either going to be fearful or you're going to be faithful. Either you're going to be full of fear or full of faith. Fear is the language of the evil one. Faith is the language of God. I don't know what your neighborhood is like. I don't know what the social pressure is that you have in your neighborhood and what your neighbors want you to do. But Peter fell trapped to being afraid. He chose to please people rather than to please God. I want you to keep your finger in Galatians real quick and just turn to Acts chapter 10. Keep your finger in Galatians and turn to Acts chapter 10. Now this is very interesting because Peter had already been told by God that he was not to be afraid of what men or women thought about his association with the Gentile. Chapter 10 verse 28 says this. Peter said to the folks, he says, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But then the key word is, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. God had already showed Peter that his association with the Gentile was in line with his perfect will. I don't know if you know it or not, but even today, I mean, as a church, God is calling us to the world. To reach out to the world, which means it goes beyond social class. It goes beyond economic class. It goes beyond racial class. I mean, God is calling us to the world, to those folks that he has created. And Peter was called to be a light, to be salt and light, and to take what God had given him and what Christ had given him for real, to reach out to those that were around him. But he had fallen prey to being fearful of man. God had specifically showed Peter, and yet Peter fell to the trap of becoming what I would call a people pleaser. rather than a God pleaser. We've got to choose to please God over pleasing people. See, we need not be afraid of those who can destroy our reputation. If I have any fear, it's the fear of the one, reverential fear of the one that will make an ultimate eternal choice in my life.
Please turn cassette to side two.
My question for you this morning is, who are you trying to please? Who gets your energy for your reputation? John 5:44 says, how can you believe if you accept praise from men yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from our only Father? God is our audience. God is the one that we must please. You see, I'm going to tell you one of the traps of trying to please people. One day you'll please people by saying, well, they think that if I get this kind of car and I wear these kind of clothes and I dress this way, that they'll like me. But guess what? Hollywood says it's changing next week. And so you've got to change again to get the pleasure of people. Politically, listen, I think I'm in line right now. It looks like I'm politically correct, but I promise you the way you're politically correct today will change by the next election year. So as people of the light, you know, we've got to decide who we're pleasing. And we've got to decide that we're going to spend the energy that's needed to please the one who deserves to be our audience. Hollywood is temporary. Heaven is eternal. Where's your balance today? Are you a person that's trying to please those around you? Are you a person that's trying to please the one that made you? It's a choice. We've got another choice I think we've got to make. It says here that the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When Paul uses this word, hypocrisy, this is a word that is very, very strong. It's one of the words that actually is also used for lying. It's a very strong language. It's also used in as it pertains to those that used to act. To be a hypocrite was to be an actor. I would think it'd be hard to be in California, you know, with all of the trends that come and go, not to sort of fall into being a good actor. If this is the kind of language you're supposed to use, sometimes we can say, well, this is the kind of language I'm supposed to use. If this is the way I'm supposed to walk, if this is the thing I'm supposed to be involved in, I would think it'd be very difficult. But we've got to make a choice. And that is to choose to portray the truth rather than to pretend. John 8:44 says that Satan is the father of acting. The father of lying. In fact, Jesus says that when Satan speaks, he speaks from his very nature, which is deception. And so this is a very important choice that I'm talking about right here. This is very important. You've got to choose to portray the truth rather than to pretend. You see, I don't know if y'all talk about Satan much out here, but you need to know that if you believe in God, and if you believe in Jesus, and if you believe in heaven, and you believe in angels, then that means that you're also going to have to believe that there is a person named Lucifer. Who it says a third of the angels went with him and we call them demons. And the fact of the matter is, you all, that we're dealing in a situation where there is constantly a spiritual battle that takes place. God comes to give truth. Satan comes to lie. In fact, just to back this up, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. I'm going to read it to you real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Verse 13 starts out by saying, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades, that means portrays, lies, as an angel of light. Kind of reminds me of what happens with some of our young people. You know, that young man comes to the young lady, and it seems like he came at just the right time. It seems as though he sang just the right words. It looks like everything about him is right until he says, listen, did God really say we can't have sex? I mean, God can't expect us in 1997 to stay away from it. I mean, it's everywhere around us. And, you know, I would say to that young lady, just according to what it says here, sometimes the devil masquerades as an angel of light. Those folks who come, that it looks like everything is all right, but they're not in line with the Word of God. How can you tell that it's not an angel of light? You hold that person and that situation and that request up to the Word of God. Satan loves Halloween. See, Satan doesn't just have... You know, folks say, well, you know, this is a real evil time now. Halloween's about to be a real evil... Listen, it's evil all the time with Satan. Satan has Halloween every day of the year. He loves Halloween. In fact, Halloween's his favorite time because it's just a portrayal of what he is. He is a cheater. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. My question for you today is, where are you? Are you masquerading as something that you're not? Oh, I would pray that the church would not fall into the trap of being like Halloween. I'm so glad to hear about what you all are doing here on Halloween to give an alternative. But you know, there's another alternative that comes with that. And that would be that when they look at Pacific Coast Church, they would say, those are those folks that are honest. Those are those folks up on the hill that are real. When you go to that church, you don't feel like you have to look a certain way or act a certain way. There's something about them where when I look into their face, the presence of Christ confronts me. They're not mask wearers up there. They're not Hollywood liars up there. Those are people who trust that Christ is real in their life. Choice today. Will you live with the mask or will you take it off? The truth of the matter is, even in this room right now, without pointing fingers, there are some that are here that are not portraying the truth. But let me tell you the beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is that there's a great makeup remover in Christ. I mean, I don't know if any of y'all ever use makeup remover or nail polish remover or whatever. But I mean, this stuff that comes from heaven, I mean, they could market this stuff. I mean, this is good stuff. I mean, it never leaves a stain. It never leaves anything behind. If you use this makeup remover, mask remover, nail polish remover, I promise you it will be effective. The person of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to wash us and to cleanse us from everything that is not true. Everything that is not real. Now, normally in some churches that I'm at, we just about get to revival talk right now. Just about now, they'd be saying, yeah, come on, preacher, come on now. Yeah, talk about him, preacher, talk about him. But the truth of the matter is, y'all, we're all of us are under the very pressure of falling in line with what society says. Even now in California, right here in San Clemente, there is the temptation for us to become portrayers of something that we're not. But oh, the beauty of the gospel. A church that's willing to stand on the Word of God, unfortunately, is a rare church. Praise be to God that this church is one that's going to stand on the Word of God. And the beauty of the Word of God is that it lets you look at yourself in the mirror. And hopefully, if you look at yourself in the mirror, in the Word of God, you won't be like some that James says, that when you leave, that you will forget what you look like. But rather, you'll continue to look. And ask yourself, when you look in the mirror, as I did this morning, now, what am I going to do about over here? And how am I going to deal with this right here? And I hope they don't mind this over here. To continually look into the Word of God is to continually look in the mirror and to see yourself. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity to be people of truth and not people of deception. Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. He portrays the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know that there are some that are here that are under the pressure. Some here that would say, but how would I ever get out from under the peer pressure? How would I ever get out from under the pressure that my husband has for me to look a certain way, or my wife has for me to make a certain amount of money or to live a certain... How would I ever do that? There's only one way. And that is to turn to Jesus. To turn to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I've been portraying something that's not real. Lord, here I am. The mask is on and I'm afraid to take it off because I've got to look at what I'm not. And Jesus says, listen, great, good. When you confess to me, which means to say the same, when you confess to me, then I will come and I will be faithful and I will be just and I will wash it away and cleanse it and make it brand new. So you all have a choice of whether or not you're going to be Hollywood folks or Hollywood folks. Live with the temporary or push for the eternal. Now, obviously, you all, I don't live here in California, and you might not see me for a long, long time. Maybe until heaven. But the Lord has already confirmed to me that there are... in beautiful, beautiful, sunny California. There are some in this room that are ready to take the mask off. There are some in this room that are ready to have the makeup removed. And they're ready to be people of truth, that they might receive the full blessing that the Lord has. I've asked Andy if he would come to play a song that I love so much. Anytime I get up to preach, I love this song. It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. I think God has great things for PCC. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I also believe that God has some things that he wants to challenge this church with. It's no coincidence that a lot of our men are gone. God is dealing with them where they are. God is dealing with them. And guess what? God wants to deal with us right here, right now. So, Andy, as you play this song, I would like to ask you all to reflect for a moment. I'd like you to bow your heads, if you would, and close your eyes and just reflect. Ask this question as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. Ask this question. Are you a person that's moved beyond the temporary to the eternal? Are you a person that's fallen in trap with the Hollywood lying rather than Hollywood or Christian living? Are you a person that's made the choice to be spiritually correct, even in the face of those that might be politically correct? Are you a person that's made the choice to please God rather than to please people? Are you a person that's ready to portray the truth rather than to pretend? Morning, I know that God is going to do a wonderful work in somebody. It may be two, it might be three, it could be 10 or 20. We're going to sing this song while our heads are bowed. And if you're in a place this morning where you say, Lord, I need you. I need makeup remover. I need polish remover. I need something new. I've got to have something to help me take the mask off. I'm tired of living a lie. I want to have a marriage. This morning, we're going to have a marriage ceremony. And the marriage ceremony is where the inside is going to get married to the outside. No, we're no longer going to conform to the patterns of this world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know, test, and approve what God's good and perfect will is. So this morning as we sing and our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in a place where you're ready to marry the inside in Christ and let it flow to the outside, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. But right now, I just want you to reflect as we sing, Lord, Prepare Me.
Lord, prepare me. Take you
about it, you know that today is a day of choice. While your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and you've reflected, is there anyone that would say today, through the raising of the hand, I'm ready to marry the outside with the inside? Amen. I see your hand. Is there anyone that would say, I'm ready to choose today to be spiritually correct over politically correct? I see your hand. Today is a day of choice. You put your hands down. Now, you all, I know that this is not probably the politically correct
thing to do, but God is here this morning. And many have raised their hands. Right now, what God is going to do is we're going to have a marriage ceremony at the altar where we marry the inside with the outside. And what you see from me is what's going on in the inside. Jesus says, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so for those of you that have raised your hands, now is the time for you to choose. Will you be like Peter that will shrink back because of what your neighbor will think? Or are you ready to please God? For every person that raised their hand, I want you to come quickly to the front. And we're going to have a time of special prayer for you. Do that quickly. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, breathe there.
If He takes you early, pure and holy, I am sure we'll thank Him. I'll be a living, sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
sing it one more time.
Lord, we give Thee the sanctuary, pure and holy, I am through. We'll thank Thee. I'll be a living sanctuary.
Now, right now, we're going to pray. Those of you that are out there, we want you just to pray. Be in prayer for these that are here. Those of you that are here, they're kneeling before the Lord, not before man. You are bowed before the King of Kings, and eventually, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. So right now is a great time. We're going to pray specifically the Lord will touch you at your point of need. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You. We give You praise and glory that even thousands of miles away, You would speak to a man about what's to happen in sunny Southern California. For those that have responded to Your word, we are so grateful, God, that You are willing to still speak to us in these days. We thank You, Lord, that You want to meet us, that You want to mold us, that You want to shape us. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name that You would open their eyes to see, open their ears to hear, soften their hearts to feel. God, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that You would begin to mold them and shape them. Woo them, God, to be the people that You have called them to be. Today, Lord, we know that we're gathered here in Your sight to witness the joining together of the inside with the outside. We thank You for Your makeup remover, the power of the Holy Spirit that can go to the deepest, darkest parts of our life and change us. Thank You for these that are here, Lord, that are saying they want to be Your sanctuary, tried and true, pure and holy. Now, Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would have complete reign and control over their lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone said together, amen. Pastor Mike, would you come forward?